Ho, 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 we say slurs in this one.
We wish you a Merry Fishmas. We wish you a Merry Fishmas. We wish you a Merry Fishmas. And in better year than this year.
But yeah, I'm not saying ho 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 because Christmas. I'm saying ho 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 to all those sluts out there.
This is not a safe for work episode.
No, this is a holiday special.
Yes.
In which
of
movie aficionados, because we are aficionados of movies and fish. This episode, I think, is going to focus on a lot of movies,
mm-hmm.
and only one fish, but a fish that confusingly has many names.
Yes.
I'm going to make an effort to refer to it as the Red Devil Turkey Zebra Lion Peacock Firefish, which is a fish that is in the movie Last Christmas.
Yes.
Because we've been watching a lot of Christmas movies.
And a lot of non-Christmas movies.
And some confusing movies, but also a Halloween movie, which is goth Christmas and gay Christmas. Yeah. So it's like Christmas for me.
Yeah, which is fitting given that the main character is gay.
The main character is gay.
And we love him a lot.
And we do, even though he does not take care of his fish particularly well. Do we want to lead with the Red Devil Turkey Zebra Lion Peacock Firefish?
Okay, yes. So this is in the movie Last Christmas, and I think you should tell us a little bit about that, because you did pick it for our Christmas movie watching list.
I was interested in watching Last Christmas because it is written or co-written by Emma Thompson, who I adore. It is a movie about a hot mess young woman living in London. She is the child of Croatian immigrants who fled the former Yugoslavia to come to England, and it has some very surprised Brexit themes.
Yeah.
You know, obviously these people who have fled a war-torn country as refugees are quite scared of the growing xenophobia mm-hmm. in the UK. It was made in 2019.
Yeah.
Well, this hot mess character electrocutes someone's Red Devil Turkey Zebra Lion Peacock Firefish.
Yes.
And I don't want to spoil the movie, but this happened last Christmas, perhaps, and she's now been kicked out of her apartment because she killed someone's Red Devil Turkey Zebra Lion Peacock Firefish, which are quite expensive.
Yes.
And she's fucked up her relationships and her career aspirations, and she's just kind of a mess. And then she meets a manic pixie dream bike messenger guy who helps her be a better person. And she volunteers at a homeless shelter, and it's kind of like Fleabag, but for the working classes.
Yeah.
And what was the other thing we compared it to? Love Actually. But
which bit in Love Actually?
Well, it has Emma Thompson in it. But it's a comedy London movie.
Yeah. Better than I expected it to be.
Quite a lot better than I expected it to be. My partner's cousin said it was a bad movie, but I enjoyed it.
All the themes really do hit you with how will I put this? A Wham?
Yes, I failed to mention that. It is based on the music of Wham and George Michaels, who was, of course, a gay and an Englishman. And he wrote Last Christmas I Gave You My Heart. The very next day you gave it away.
Right. Because that's not really an ideal Christmas present unless you've organised it beforehand, I think. Very messy.
Yeah. I am a person who occasionally has a very dark sense of humour, and I did enjoy the fact that he... Listen, it is sad when people die.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to die after writing Last Christmas, you may as well die around the Christmas season of some heart-related issue.
Yeah.
So it's a good movie. I recommend it if you want something that's a little bit rom-commy, but also fun and weird and kind of deep, but also funny. Like her boss is called Santa.
Yeah.
She's a Chinese woman, I believe, and she like changes her name. The name that she goes by anyway to white people, depending on what shop she's working in.
Mm-hmm.
So she's in a Christmas ornament shop, so she goes by Santa, and she used to be in a health food shop and she went by Miso, and she used to be in a bakery and she went by Muffin.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and in a pet shop and went by Kitty.
Yes. So it's all those sort of cute things.
Yeah.
All the characters are quite human. And someone electrocutes a Red Devil Turkey Zebra Lion Peacock Firefish by throwing a hairdryer into its tank. Is that good fish care?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
In fairness, she doesn't deliberately do it. She leaves the hairdryer on the edge of the tank and it falls into it.
I feel like the tank shouldn't be open.
I mean, yeah, there probably should be a lid on it. Just for your, for my peace of mind anyway. I would personally prefer it had a lid.
I think it is bad housemate relations to have someone drying their hair while someone else is caring for their fish, mm-hmm. and therefore has the tank lid off. Like, you need to be able to say to your housemate, hey,
yeah,
I know you're getting ready to get head out. Could you use the mirror in the hallway, mm-hmm. or something?
Yeah.
Because I don't want you to electrocute my very expensive fish whose name I'm not going to repeat.
Yeah. So for everyone else, this fish is, of course, the lionfish, which goes under all the beautiful names Aoife has been reciting.
The thing is, it's, people call it the red lionfish, the devil lionfish, the turkey fish, the zebra fish, the peacock fish, the firefish, and then the
butterfly cod,
the ornate butterfly cod. And it's quite pretty.
It is very pretty.
Spiny, yeah. Boy.
There's a few different species, and I think they're all quite beautiful. And then there's dwarf ones, and there's one called the fuzzy dwarf lionfish, and it's really cute.
How do we rate its keeping, other than the fact that it got electrified?
I mean, the tank looked kind of bare,
mm-hmm.
but then we did only see the side of it.
Yeah.
And the guy did seem like, he did look like he was going to grab the hairdryer off the edge, so I think he was. And he was invested enough in it that he kicked her out. So I think this is just a terrible tragedy.
Yeah, yeah. For a beloved pet.
Yeah.
Who keeps lionfish? What kind of setup do you need for them?
Well, they can get quite big. Mm-hmm. So the lionfish we're talking about, so when most people think lionfish, it's, you know, this P. volitans, the red lionfish, mm-hmm. or the turkey fish, or the that one.
Yeah.
So they can get kind of big. Mm-hmm. So they can get like 30 centimeters long, mm-hmm. maybe a little bit bigger.
30 centimeters is like a long foot. Ruler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they can also, they have these big pectoral fins,
mm-hmm.
Which flare out like fans.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have space, like enough width as well, so they can flare out all their pretty fins.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're dressing up to go on a night out.
Because they are fancy.
They are. They're very cool. I really do like them. Mm-hmm. I think they're very interesting. So they're predators.
Mm-hmm.
So they eat small fish and shrimp and stuff. They sometimes hunt in groups. They fan out these big fins, mm-hmm. to like herd fish up against a wall or into a crevice so the fish can't get anywhere. And then they use suction feeding.
Yeah.
So they throw, like a lot of fish can throw their jaws out.
Suction feeding's a very good adaption, isn't it?
It's amazing.
It's a pity we can't do it above,
mm-hmm.
ocean, you know?
It would be great if we could.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Just inhaling your chips.
I'll try and link a YouTube video that, or if you Google it even, you can just see that sometimes they slow it down,
mm-hmm.
or they slow the camera down because they can move very, very quickly,
mm-hmm.
and they can strike very, very fast. And it's just like zoop!
And it creates an area of lower pressure within, mm-hmm. the mouth, which then sucks some water and whatever the prey is, ideally, into the mouth.
So yeah, they're pretty stealthy hunters.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw one once on a documentary, I think it was The Hunt by BBC, mm-hmm. which is quite good if you want to check it out. They're quite slow,
mm-hmm.
Which is why they're so brightly coloured and very venomous.
I was going to say, you said that they were stealthy hunters, but I know them as being very ornate.
Yeah.
Are the wild ones as ornate?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what they do, sometimes you might see them, that they kind of sneak their way into the middle of a shoal of fish.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're moving so slowly.
People are like, this is, or people. Fish are like, this is a weird rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fish kind of, like, do you know where you see sometimes like lions walking, mm-hmm. among zebras and antelopes on the plains? And because the prey animals don't get a sense that they're hunting.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if I can see it.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's a similar. And then they can just like get into the shoal of fish and everyone's gotten quiet and relaxed. Mm-hmm. And then they just go zoop.
You'd think eventually you'd cop on to not.
But they all get eaten. So maybe
maybe they don't.
The reds and the creams and the, mm-hmm. stripes. So that's a warning coloration. So we, mm-hmm. call that aposematic. So it's kind of like bees or what. So these bright colors that say to other animals, I'm venomous.
Watch out.
Yeah. So they have about 18 venomous spines,
mm-hmm.
on their backs and fins and stuff. So there's a venom gland at the base of that for the chemistry,
mm-hmm.
nerds and lunas. So it's a combination of proteins and neuromuscular toxin and then acetylcholine, which is a neurotransmitter. So the venom gland, so there's two grooves of the spine, and then once you like grab the fish, mm-hmm. or whatever.
It's like a pen.
It
comes up through the quill.
Venom is only used for defense, so it's not used for attack at all.
So they don't use it when they're hunting.
No, absolutely not. So it's very rarely fatal. It, mm-hmm. is very, very painful. So it can induce nausea, breathing difficulties, a lot of pain, sweating, and then in some cases paralysis. Temporary paralysis.
Is it a thing where some people are more susceptible than others, or some fish are more potent than others, or how badly you get stung? What factors cause it to be not fatal most of the time.
I think it's just, it's not that strong. The only people who tend to die are those who have other underlying conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you could be allergic,
mm-hmm.
or you could be a very small child, or yeah. old, or you could have some other underlying condition that would make you more sensitive.
Yeah.
Which is why they can be kept, and they're quite peaceful to keep now. They will eat anything smaller than them in the tank, so mm-hmm. they should only be kept by themselves or with other fish that are as big as...
You said that they hunt in packs. Would they...
They can, yes.
Do is that... Are they a social living species, or is it just a practical thing?
I think they're just... They're chill.
They're okay to live alone.
Yeah. They are quite hardy, and once you get them into captivity, so from that point of view, they're easy to keep.
Yeah.
But they do tend to hang out... Like, they hunt... They like to hunt at night. They can hunt during the day as well. But when they're resting, they do tend to hang out under rocks
mm-hmm.
and stuff. So people have been stung by, say, lifting rocks out of the tank, not realizing there's one underneath and accidentally grabbing the fish. So they're not recommended if you have small kids
mm-hmm.
or people in the house who might stick their hands into it.
A tank.
Yeah.
Yeah. Idiots or housemates who are using a hairdryer right next to tank. It needs, ideally then, something to hide under to be happy.
Yeah.
Does the fish prefer to be allowed to hunt, or is it happy? It's so hard to know these things, huh?
A lot of fish, especially if they're taken from the wild for ornamental use.
If it's not.
Yeah, they have to be given feeder fish.
Yeah.
So typically these are, like, they can be weaned off to frozen food and prepared food.
Mm-hmm.
But initially when you get them, you often have to give them live food to encourage them to hunt.
Yeah. That's what they know. This is the feeding behavior they're familiar with.
Yeah. They can live 15 years though. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah, a lot of the smaller dwarf ones only live about 2.
They only live 2 years?
Yeah.
Is that because have the dwarf ones been bred by humans too small?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
No, the dwarf ones are just a different species.
So it sounds like it's a fish which is sort of not for beginners, but if someone, for example, is into fish keeping but doesn't have much time, like someone who knows their stuff
mm-hmm.
but also knows they won't be able to keep track of a complex aquarium, this guy is not so bad because...
Well, it'd be a single species really, so like
yeah.
you just have to keep, like, obviously their water quality still needs to be good and stuff, but
mm-hmm.
and because big predators produce a lot of waste, so you do need to keep on top of that.
Yeah.
But relatively, compared to a lot of other marine species to keep, they're relatively easy. You just need the space and you need to give them... You just need to be careful around them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't get stung for fun.
Yeah.
Because that's probably
and especially
not good for it or you.
Because you won't know if you're allergic until you get stung.
True.
Yeah. So I've heard of some people who keep stingrays and stuff at home
mm-hmm.
that, like, they won't do any aquarium maintenance unless... They have someone with them,
mm-hmm.
just in case.
They're allergic, because they don't
and
know.
If anything happens, I know of some people who write out, like, the species name of whatever's in the tank and any other medical information and, like, stick it to the front of the aquarium.
Yeah.
So say if they reacted very, very badly,
mm-hmm.
that whoever, their buddy with them, could ring emergency services mm-hmm. and they'd be able to quote all the necessary information. And I think it's the case of there's cool venomous animals you can keep, and then there's stupidly dangerous venomous animals you can keep. Like, I think a lionfish is okay
mm-hmm.
because it probably won't kill you, but why on earth would you keep, like, a blue-ringed octopus or, like, a cone shell or something that can kill you?
Yeah,
it's like, that's just dumb.
Yeah, and the lionfish seems interesting to look at.
Yeah,
like, I don't know what the ethics or how people feel about feeding live fish to a fish, but if it's something you're interested in looking at and you're morally okay with, that would be an interesting show, huh?
Yeah. And also, they're highly invasive in the Atlantic, so
mm-hmm.
get them out of there.
Very
yeah.
fair, yeah.
Yeah, that's a bad... So they think they're only native to the Indo-Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
So they think what happened, like, the first one was recorded, they are now in the Mediterranean, but they're also...
How?
Because they think... And the first one was recorded in 1985 off the coast of South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So they've spread around Florida, all up the east coast of the US.
People released their pets?
Yeah, exactly.
Idiot.
Yeah. Don't release... We talked about this in our very first episode. If you have a pet you can no longer take care of, do not release it into the wild.
Yeah, find... Well, okay, your answer to what to do with it would be species specific.
Yeah.
Contact local conservation groups and animal shelters and see what they
yeah.
can help. It is better to put down your unwanted
yes.
pet than to allow it to destroy an ecosystem.
Yeah. And especially when it comes to fish, like, a lot of aquariums won't take unwanted pets anymore just because they don't have the space, I don't think.
Yeah.
Obviously, it depends on the aquarium.
If it's
but
a very cool and rare fish that they need
a
copy of, they'll be like, oh, sick. But
yeah.
just your general tank buster? No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at you using terms like tank buster.
Oh, what can I say? I've got I co-present a SciComm podcast.
But I think what's really cool in the areas where they're invasive, what they're trying to do now is that, like, because they breed very quickly, mm-hmm. like, they can reproduce all year, and a mature female can produce about 2 billion eggs a year. So what they're doing now is that they're trying to make a tourism thing about them, because they're eating all the fish that people want.
Yeah.
So they're just like, hey, you guys like spearfishing, right? So now they're sending people out to spearfish invasive lionfish and also eat them.
Do they taste good?
Apparently so, yeah. But then they're quite safe to eat if you take the venom glands out properly.
Mm-hmm.
It's nowhere near as dangerous as, say, like fugu,
yeah.
pufferfish.
Do they... So they're in the Atlantic. Are they as far north as us?
No.
Would you need a heater if you're keeping one? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's, again, it's a fish for someone who knows their fish keeping.
Exactly.
But it's relatively hardy. So
yeah.
A person who knows their fish keeping and knows they can't be hurt again by losing a beloved fish. And yet was hurt again because their terrible housemate electrocuted it.
I do love how later in the movie, when she's gone through a whole, like, I'm trying to be a better person and make amends, she shows up at this guy's door with a goldfish. I'm like, that's no way equivalent. You would feed a goldfish to a lionfish. I don't think it's a proper replacement.
No, it's not a good nutrition either for the lionfish have bought. Is it? Does it seem likely that she would have gone to an aquarium and said, fish shop, mm-hmm. what would you call that?
Pet shop, fish.
A pet shop.
Aquarium specialist.
Yeah, an aquarium specialist fish shop. And was like, I electrocuted my housemate's red devil turkey zebra lion peacock firefish. But she may have said this to the people there and they'd have been like, yes, that is many pounds sterling, please. And she was like, what's your third cheapest fish? God, so she really took, she really electrocuted a, how much fish? 30, 40 euro fish?
I saw one go for 100. So it depends on the species again, but like you're talking anywhere, I'd say between 45 and 100. Yeah.
So she electrocuted very expensive, let's say 80 euro.
Yeah.
Marine tank dwelling fish.
Yeah.
And was like, I'm so sorry. Here's a 3 euro. Fresh water, non-heated tank fish.
Yeah.
Cool. Great. Merry Christmas.
You filthy animal.
Yeah. Okay.
So what rating? I think we should give this a very low rating.
The poor thing is that I bet the guy who was keeping it knew his stuff, but he didn't protect his fish from his housemate. So I'm being very generous and in the Christmas spirit. I might give that a 3 or 4.
Really?
Well, no. Okay, I don't think we got a good look at the
tank. Yeah, that's true.
But if he had everything in place except for a lid,
yeah,
I think he deserves a 3.
Yeah.
But we don't know that.
I think maybe a 2, because like guy who kept fish in a fish called Wanda had a mm-hmm. good setup and then...
got fed.
Like, other circumstances happened. Yeah.
I think... across Fish Called Wanda and this movie, a lesson to be learned is put a lid on your aquarium
and don't allow people into your house who will either electrocute your fish or eat them live.
In these plague-ridden times, it's more important than ever to not allow people who are going to eat your pets into your house. If someone's going to come into your living space where you and the innocent creatures which depend on you to live are dwelling, make sure they're not a fucking monster. Even if they're gonna undergo character development.
Yeah.
Oh dear, okay.
Great movie.
Good movie. I did enjoy this movie. I enjoyed it more than I liked Wanda. Fish Called Wanda was
an experience.
Fish Called Wanda got my hopes up because it was a heist movie, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
They had some heist, but then it was not heist, and then they... just like how in the very beginning they have all these very exotic fish on screen and you're kind of like, fuck this guy, what mm-hmm. is he doing? And then you look at the actual tank and it was what, a bunch of mollies?
Mm. And he's an animal rights activist, which gives me a knee-jerk reaction these days.
Yeah.
Oh, you again.
What do you mean again?
Did you follow me here?
Are elves always so cynical?
Yes, relentlessly. These are dark times.
We've had some disappointing movies in 2020, huh?
We have, but we have other holiday movies we're talking about.
We do.
The theme of the rest of this episode will be that gays are bad at fish keeping.
Except for me.
Except for you.
Like, listen, I've killed some fish. I think everyone who keeps fish has killed some fish, but I'm not as bad at some of some of these characters.
As another lesson on keep a lid on your fucking fish, when I was 6 or 7 or so, I had some pet fish who I loved, and I also had cat.
Mm-hmm.
He was...
No prizes for guessing what happens here, folks.
The fish was a good victim. Poor old Goldie and Wagtails had a bloody end. We kept them on top of the fridge. I don't know how... It was a dedicated cat.
Yeah.
He was wonderful.
For a second, I thought you meant you kept the dead fish on top of the fridge. And I was like, as what?
A shrine to the lost ancestors.
Yeah.
But there's some similar slip-ups in some of these movies. No one gets their fish eaten by something else, I don't think.
No.
But there is a fish who dies of mysterious causes.
Yes.
In Happiest Season.
Indeed, yeah.
Which is a Christmas rom-com directed by Clea DuVall, known lesbian. You might recognize as the love interest in But I'm a Cheerleader. She stars opposite Natasha Lyonne in that. And this is a rom-com she wrote. Starring Kristen Stewart.
And Mackenzie Davis?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mackenzie Davis, the tall girl from San Junipero, which is the episode of Black Mirror that has a happy ending.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, she's tall, and I believe she's also maybe in the new Terminator movies.
Couldn't tell you.
Because there were some pictures of her wearing like a white tank top.
And oh, she that was her. Oh, okay.
You know,
you
that...
say tank top and it's all flowing back to
you. Oh, the buff woman? The buff, tall, strong lady.
She had the short haircut or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the lesbian. But in this movie, Kristen Stewart's character plays a pet sitter who goes to visit her partner's family for Christmas. And that's the A plot.
Yeah.
But there is a B plot where, because she's going to be out of town, she asks a friend who is an editor and publisher to look after some fish and some cats and some dogs for a few days. And he fails to check on the fish.
Yeah.
And it dies.
Yeah. And also, he's played by Daniel Levy. He does a very good job.
He's wonderful. It is one of those... This is a movie made by queer people for queer people. But also, rom-coms have always had a role for queer people for quite a while, which is that of the sassy gay friend.
Yeah.
But this movie's slightly more accurate in that he is a gay person who has gay friends. And he is the sassy gay friend of these other gays.
Yeah.
Abby, you and Harper have a perfect relationship. Why do you want to ruin that by engaging in one of the most archaic institutions in the history of the human race?
Because I want to marry her.
Okay, you say that, but what you're actually doing is tricking the woman you claim to love by trapping her in a box of heteronormativity and trying to make her your property. She is not a rice cooker or a cake plate. She's a human being.
It's not about owning her. It's about building a life with her. She is... my person, and I really want everyone to know that.
I suppose that's one way of looking at it.
Because we are all the sassy gay friends of each other.
And also he has actual depth, unlike many of his archetypes before him.
Yes, and...
I love his little speech towards the end where he's talking about the experiences of coming out.
Everybody's story is different. There's your version, and my version... everything in between. But the one thing that all of those stories have in common is that moment right before you say those words, when your heart is racing and you don't know what's coming next. That moment's really terrifying.
It's a beautiful movie. It's definitely, I've seen people who are disappointed with it because they wanted it to be a Hallmark Christmas movie. And then I've seen other people disappointed with those people for not enjoying it for the kind of movie it is. And I think that's a nice reminder that art is for different people. And just because a movie or a book isn't for you, you know, it still has its watchers and readers, and there's no, like, if it's not for you, you can just walk away. But this character's great. He does kill a fish through neglect, but he does also...
Of 12 hours
of neglect. Our main character rings him at some point
while
he is standing in an aquarium trying to buy a replacement fish, and she, like, pours out this very stressful situation she's dealing with, and he says, that's a lot. I'm going to process this and get back to you. and then turns up a few hours later out of nowhere, which I think is a masterful character. I just love that.
I really enjoyed this film. I wasn't expecting, again, I was kind of like, it's not that I wasn't expecting to, but I was kind of like, I'm going to manage my expectations.
I'm not a huge enjoyer, I think, of the cheesy rom-com without any depth. I like the characters in things to act somewhat relatably like humans, which means, you know, sometimes you will have relationship conflicts that aren't solved by standing outside with a boombox or, you know, running to catch someone coming off an airplane. People are more complicated than that, and I appreciate that in this film. But the fish care wasn't great, huh?
No.
How much do we know about the fish in this movie?
We barely saw it. So it could have been a better fish, maybe.
Looking at it, I kind of thought it was a big goldfish.
Yeah.
But it, again, I'm not a fish identifier.
Well, we only saw like a little tiny body. We didn't even see it close up.
Yes.
I just don't know. She said the fish had to be checked morning and evening.
Yeah.
And he forgot to do that once.
I think he forgot to do it for, I'm going to say generously,
maybe 3 days.
Yeah, she'd been gone away for a few days. So maybe he'd completely forgotten for half a week.
Yeah.
But even then, what could possibly happen to a fish in that time?
And especially when it seemed there was the only fish in the tank. Now, I had a nice big tank if it was the only one in there.
Let's work with the assumption that it's a betta fish.
Yeah.
It wants to be alone. It does not want to be in a shoal because it will fight.
So it wants either to be male-female pair or just a male by himself.
Yeah. And he, this betta fish then, presuming generously it was a fish that was in circumstances that it could be in. Ooh, maybe that's what it is. Maybe they'd gotten two betta fish and they weren't sure of the... No, you can tell. You can sex them very easily.
Yeah.
Was it someone keeping two betta fish hoping that they would fall in gay love and instead they killed each other?
I mean, potentially, but...
That would be a stupid thing to
happen. It would be, yeah. That would be the kind of thing I would expect the publisher character to do.
Yeah, because he doesn't know anything.
And then for him to ring his Kirsten Stewart friend and be like, why did this happen?
And she was like, you idiot. Yeah. You absolute fool.
Yeah.
From your knowledge, how badly must your tank setup be that you need to check it morning and evening? And if you don't, they'll die.
Unless maybe they had just set up this new tank and hadn't cycled it, which is when you let nutrients rise to a very high level and then it drops off and then you're safe to add fish. But then a fish shouldn't have been added to that.
Perhaps someone was given a fish by a well-meaning relative as an early Christmas present and they needed to set up a new tank. And this person was like, I have to be out of town. This is a this is a terrible situation, but I'm going to get this good fish keeper, this good pet sitter I know to follow my specific instructions.
Which is...
And you would have to change water, what, every...
Every day or every two... Well, I don't really know off the top of my head, but yeah, it would be a big job.
Yeah.
Which is why you shouldn't add fish too early to a new tank. And also don't buy animals for people for Christmas.
Yeah.
If they haven't explicitly said that they're ready for them and have set them up.
Yep.
So, a fish is for life, not just for Christmas.
Even though it is Fishmas, a fish is for life.
Yes.
Fish life.
Yes.
Yeah.
However long that may be.
Yes. Because if it's a betta fish, it's not super long.
Yeah.
Long, not as long as a zebra fish or indeed a well-cared for goldfish.
And like a well-fed fish should be able to survive on its fat reserves for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So if this was a happy, healthy fish before they left, it didn't necessarily need it to be checked twice a day. Unless it was like you're just coming in to look at the cat and the dog anyway, you may as well just make sure the fish is still alive.
Yeah. I'd say, yeah, generously. The other generous interpretation I can think of is they also had a cat.
Yeah.
And if he hadn't been checking...
The tank had a lid, though.
If he hadn't been checking on the cat and the cat was alone with the fish. Goldie and Wagtails, I'm so sorry.
But then how would the cat get the lid off the tank?
Jumping? Being angry?
Maybe.
I think a cat could knock... So our fish setup has a light attached to the lid, so it's somewhat heavier, but I think if you don't have a light there, a cat could knock it off. Cats are pretty dexterous, and while they aren't the smartest, they are hunters, and they will investigate the problem of thing I'm hunting until they win.
Yeah.
So I think that's possible, but then we did see the fish corpse.
Yeah. Which you should have brought to the shop if he wanted to get a... exact replacement.
Yes, this poor character did try. So he called his friend who was meant to be looking after this fish.
Also, I am loving these
fish. If I wanted to buy the exact same one for myself, where do you think I would do that?
While staring at the dead fish. But she didn't answer.
No.
So he should have brought the corpse with him.
Yeah.
Do we think it's a world-building failing or a fish-keeping failing?
I think a fish-keeping failing.
Okay. Yeah. And it...
So, in fairness, this is not a big plot point of this movie. This is like a Z plot point.
Yeah, it is not even B. Yeah.
No.
I said B plot. It's not. It's ripped to that poor fish. If the fish that was in the tank had died due to neglect in 3 days and he replaced it with, for argument's sake, he took pictures of the fish corpse and got an identical one, would that fish be safe?
Probably not.
No.
If you haven't established what killed the first one.
Yeah.
Which you should do if you have fish that die for apparently no reason.
Yeah. Okay, so we enjoyed this movie.
Yeah.
But for fish care?
It was bad. It was bad.
I'm not the expert here, but I'd argue for a 1-starfish max.
I think so, yeah. I think so. Interesting how Last Christmas and Happy Season both had a sibling being outed by another sibling.
True.
Parallels.
We didn't even mention that. All of the movies we're discussing today do have queer characters.
Yeah.
Because we are people with preferences, and that is for representation.
And if it's not there, we will put it in there.
Yep. Very true. Are we happy to move on then?
Yes, I think so. It's a good movie. I would recommend it.
I would recommend it, yeah.
Very human drama, I think. Yes. Didn't feel contrived.
Yes, yeah. And there are a variety of beautiful queer women to watch, if that is what you are invested in. There is also a very beautiful queer man with a beautiful eyebrows. And there is tragic fish and a tragic family and a quirky sister who gets a happily ever after.
She does.
Yeah. Yes. Gonna give that 5 stars as a movie.
Okay.
1-star fish for fish care.
Okay, I will put it
at
5 for movie.
Yes.
Yes.